The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Effectual Data Creation Facility Production.
Welcome to the OFNT Podcast, episode 229, which I'm calling Northbound. That's right, I'm heading back up to New York in the morning, hence the early release of this episode. I'll be heading back down here on the 15th of August with another load of stuff. This back and forth thing is starting to get old, but I realize it's a necessity and all part of our move. And speaking of getting old, it takes me a couple of days to recover from each trip, no matter how many energy drinks I consume. Okay, I'll stop talking about me so I can continue talking about me in different contexts. What do you say we get this thing started?
Okay.
And it's lights out and away we go!
Tech news. With the summer season on full blast now, the tech companies are enjoying a hiatus, which continues to cause a dearth of interesting tech news. At least we have the Made by Google event coming later this month, proof that at least one company is still hard at work. So unfortunately, I bring only a sparse tech news section to you this week. First, Reuters is reporting that Apple is delaying some of the upcoming artificial intelligence features, which were announced during the company's WWDC event back in June. While some of these new AI features will be part of the rollout of iOS 18 this October, others won't be present until late October. Apple had previously delayed the rollout of AI features for the developers and public beta versions of iOS 18 because of European Union tech rules, which require the companies to ensure that rival products and services can function with its devices. That's probably what's causing this further delay.
Yes.
While most tech news I and the tech press report on concerns high-end stuff, the all-important so-called low-end market is usually ignored. That's why the following headline from CNET.com is good to see. Quote, Qualcomm's new chip could bring 5G phones priced under $100, unquote. Announced just Tuesday, the Snapdragon 4S Gen 2 platform is targeting lower-end phones. This newly announced chipset will start coming out later this year, starting with a device from Chinese phone maker Xiaomi. The Snapdragon 4S Gen 2 will feature 40-watt wired charging and give manufacturers the ability to make gaming phones for under $100. Wow. This newly announced chipset will, of course, also feature up to 1 gigabit of 5G capability. Qualcomm's closest competitor in this particular market, MediaTek, produces similar chipsets, but they don't feature fast charging or 5G capability. Well, at least not yet. This is great news for phone users in underserved markets such as Africa, India, and Southeast Asia. There's money to be made in those markets, and Qualcomm intends to get themselves some. Last week, I reported that OG chipmaker Intel was having problems with the company's latest 13th and 14th generation processors, which they blamed on a coding error. Instead of opting for a recall, Intel decided to send out a software fix to its business partners, who are mainly motherboard manufacturers. Consumers seem to be left twisting in the wind from this decision. According to an article from Engadget.com, Intel will rectify this kerfuffle by extending the warranty of these chips by 2 years. Mostly gamers were affected by this coding error, but these CPUs will just keep on degrading over time, which will eventually affect every user of this chip. At least now, consumers will have the chance to just replace the CPU instead of having to buy a new one or even a completely new computer. Further details about this extended warranty will be forthcoming from Intel over the next few weeks. On top of this trouble, Intel's earnings were down this quarter and they have announced a layoff of 15% of the company's workforce. And that adds up to some 18,720 workers. Man, what a time to be losing your job. The economy is rough and it's getting rougher by the day. Tech I'm using. You know, I've sang the praises of my 15-inch MacBook Air on many occasions before, and I just have to do it again. During this whole moving process, this computer has become invaluable to me. First off, its lightweight and slim profile make it very easy to transport, easily nestling into my messenger-style computer bag, with plenty of room to spare for my 11-inch iPad Pro and Kinect 6 audio interface. Secondly, the MacBook has become my main source of content consumption while traveling. Even better than the iPad because of its beautiful large 15-inch screen and powerful sound system. And finally, I can run my podcast from it due to the Apple Silicon M2 chip, which powers it. Now, is the MacBook Air perfect? Well, no. I wish the Apple tax wasn't as stiff in regards to storage space and RAM. I opted for 16 gigs of RAM and went with the basic 250-gig hard drive, figuring I could just use an external drive to augment that paltry 250-gig drive. Being an old fart, it's hard to me to wrap my increasingly decrepit mind around 250 gigs being considered paltry. The first IBM PC-compatible computer that I ever purchased was a leading-edge PC circa 1983.
What?
Wow.
I recall the salesman attempting to upsell me to add a 30-megabyte, not gigabyte, mind you, hard drive for $200 more. Being that I was using all the expendable income I had for the basic PC, I politely turned him down. Anyway, at first I didn't care for the magic keyboard that my MacBook Air came with, but I guess it needed to be broken in because I really enjoy typing on it these days. It's too bad Apple refuses to make a Bluetooth magic keyboard with backlit keys. I wonder what the reasoning behind that decision is. Perhaps a battery drain? Who knows? So if you're within the giant fruit company's ecosystem and really have no need for the so-called pro features of the other MacBooks in Apple's lineup, just buy yourself a MacBook Air. You won't regret it. The 1 gigabyte fiber internet service at my new home has been a minor disappointment so far. We're getting about 720 megabits per second down and 540 megabits per second up, and that's in the room where the router is located. But those speeds diminish the further away you get from the router, especially the upstairs of the new house. My son's room gets about 300 megabits per second down, which is about what he gets in New York. He's a gamer, so that's barely enough for him to function. My recording space gets about 420 megabits per second down, which is fine for my uses. But, you know, I'm paying for a full gig of service, and I'd like to at least approach that speed. Of course, the upload speeds blow away the non-fiber internet service I get up in New York. When things settle down a bit, I'll be purchasing a three-piece mesh system. The TP-Link mesh system I use in New York is only capable of 500 megabits per second and carries an older Wi-Fi protocol. I'll probably buy another TP-Link system or an Eero mesh system next time around. Right now I'm leaning towards TP-Link because I've had no issues with my current TP-Link setup, and their price is much better than the equivalent Eero model, especially when you want a tri-band network.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Entertainment news. My lovely wife and I watched the complete first part of the final season of the Cobra Kai series on Netflix over the past week. The second part of this last season airs in November, and a third part sometime next spring. I'm not a fan of the multi-part seasons of television series, but at least we have something to look forward to. The 6 episodes of part 1 of the seasons were good. You can tell that Cobra Kai is well-funded now that the show has become successful. But money isn't everything, and I find myself missing the rawness of the first two seasons of the show when it aired on YouTube Red, which Google discontinued. Well, of course they would. It's the Google way.
Yes.
Despite this increase in budget and the much better choreography and effects of the fights, the show seems to be taking itself too seriously these days. The humor isn't as good as it was during the first two seasons, in my opinion. If you already didn't know, Cobra Kai is based on the 80s movie franchise, The Karate Kid, which didn't appeal to me back then and still doesn't even now. I believe Cobra Kai came to life from either a Reddit thread or fan fiction thing where the hero of the Karate Kid movies is seen as the bad guy, while his arch enemy is really not to blame for the events of the movies. When the series debuted on YouTube, I heard this upside-down premise on some podcast I was watching and became intrigued with the show. Back then, 2018 if I recall correctly, I wasn't in a good financial situation to subscribe to YouTube Red or Premium, so I didn't follow up on my curiosity. Well, Netflix acquired Cobra Kai in 2020 and breathed new life into it. This is where I started watching the series and was surprised at how much I enjoyed it. Even my lovely wife, who doesn't usually get into this type of show, liked it, which was even more of a pleasant surprise. So far, I think the first two seasons have been the best of the series, especially that first season. By breaking up this sixth and final season into three parts, Netflix is maximizing its profits by sort of foiling the people who subscribe to the service just to be able to watch a particular series and then cancel after completing it. This three-part season will make these fans of Cobra Kai subscribe three separate times, or have to wait until the show wraps. No discussing the show around the water cooler at work for them.
No.
A while back, I reported on a new sports-orientated streaming service being launched, which combines the assets of ESPN, Fox, and Warner Brothers. I had high hopes for the venture at the time because the new service would trim a lot of fat from the typical bundling that goes on within the streaming world, and that would save us consumers some money. Well, the service I was talking about has a name now. It will be called Venu and debut this autumn. The price will be $42.99 per month. Well, that's not bad, really, as long as that price stays around that amount, but you know it won't. The question I have about Venu is, will it include local sporting channels such as the Yankees Entertainment Service, better known as YES, and Sports New York, which is SNY? If Venu does contain these networks, then it's a no-brainer. The consumer will save a good chunk of cash. If Venu doesn't include these local networks, then it's a non-starter. The Venu streaming service comes too late for me as I'm relocating, as you know and are probably tired of hearing about.
Yes.
I'll be out of market for my sports team, so for baseball at least, I'll be using my subscription to MLB TV, which I receive gratis for being a customer of T-Mobile. Even if I had to pay for MLB TV, it would only cost me around $150 per year. An alternative to Venu is Fubo, which includes those local sports networks along with local entertainment channels for about $80 per month. It just proves that competition is a good thing. If you use the free tier of Spotify, well, this will be good news for you. Late last spring, Spotify stripped the song lyrics feature from the ad-supported free tier. Well, according to an article from TechRadar.com, Spotify has brought back this feature with one slight change. When tapping on the lyrics preview, you will see a banner ad. Once you dismiss the ad, you'll see the real-time lyrics just like before. You know, I really don't use the lyrics function on Spotify or Apple Music, but it's a nice thing to have around. Podcast news. I became aware of a podcast called Conspiracy Theories, that's plural, theories, which is from Spotify Studios. Now, the show doesn't cover those far-out conspiracies like Flat Earth, for example. It covers more believable things that could have really happened, and not just U.S.-based conspiracies. It's a well-done show, and I suspect it's a product of the remnants of the now-defunct Parcast studio, which Spotify bought back in 2019. Parcast had a stable of shows of which I enjoyed quite a few. Parcast's stable of shows were discontinued, and eventually the studio was absorbed into Spotify Studios, right after Parcast unionized. Coincidence?
No.
I think not. The founders of Parcast have since left Spotify and started a media company whose name I can't recall at the moment. Parcast's business model was to hire professional voice actors and pump out shows concerning various topics, such as true crime, spy stories, etc. Since being bought by Spotify, I haven't heard anything that would point to a Parcast-produced show, that is, until conspiracy theories. Here's hoping that Spotify realizes what they've got and produces more shows like this one, perhaps replacing some that I miss from Parcast's old lineup. I believe that Spotify have finally figured out its podcast strategy. No more exclusives and no more spending outrageous sums of money for underproducing and under-listened celebrity-hosted shows. Like Meghan Markle's podcast, in which the fake Duchess only managed to produce one real episode, for example. A headline from Engadget.com reads, SiriusXM is launching a standalone podcast subscription service, unquote. Great. Just what the world of podcasting needs. Yet another podcast subscription service.
No, I don't know, mate.
The new service will be called SiriusXM Podcast Network Plus. Oh, how original. And be available via Apple Podcasts on August 5th. You know, I wonder if the folks over at SiriusXM bothered to consult National Public Radio about this.
No.
If they had, they might have reconsidered this sort of venture, which didn't turn out well for NPR. For your $6 per month, you get an ad-free lineup of the usual celebrity-hosted podcasts from the likes of Jason Bateman and Will Arnett, Rob Lowe, and Andy Cohen. Whoop-de-doo. SiriusXM expects this subscription service to expand to other platforms in the future. SiriusXM should have sought advice from Spotify, who learned a hard way that exclusives and pay-for-play schemes mostly don't work, no matter what celebrity-hosted podcast you have in your stable. SiriusXM is a result of a merger between two satellite radio companies, Sirius and XM Radio. I signed up for XM Radio back in what a lot of people recall as being the day and enjoyed it. After the merger, monthly subscription prices skyrocketed along with the number of advertisements. I've tried a couple of subscription-based podcast series, them being Wondery and Apollo, but found the price of admission not worth it. Though Apollo's free version is great for discovering audio dramas. The Wall Street Journal. Hey, I'm getting fancy with my sources, huh?
Yes.
Recently had an article which highlights the fact that only a few of the top podcasts are making the lion's share of money. Something us independent podcasters have known for years. When the coup hit and all these celebrities jumped on the podcasting bandwagon, thus creating Podcasting Incorporated, many of the old established podcasters warned of the independent podcasters and their shows being pushed out. Well, these podcasting old-timers were, of course, correct. Over the years, established shows and networks like Leo Laporte's Twit Network have been almost totally squeezed out of the ad market, forcing them to close down their studio in order to survive. Thank goodness home recording technology has improved to the point of making this possible. Podcasting Incorporated has been undergoing a downturn also, the first victim being National Public Radio alumni who were commanding six-figure salaries but now find themselves unemployed. These types recorded from studios using $5,000 microphones and multi-$1,000 audio interfaces. Most of the podcasts produced by them were of the, quote, marginalized voices genre, which at best would only obtain a small niche audience to begin with. They would have been better served by just sending the hosts a cheap audio interface and inexpensive mic, and then doing the editing after being sent the raw audio file. But what do I know? It had gotten so out of hand that shows that had less than 100 listeners had teams of audio engineers, writers, researchers, fact-checkers, and more. Now, who couldn't see the bottom falling out of this business model? The article also listed the top genres in podcasting. True crime is the most popular, followed by news slash politics, comedy, culture, and sports. I included all that just in case you wanted to know. Podcast production studio Crooked Media seems to be living up to its name. Crooked Media, whose mission statement is to get members of the Democratic Party elected, has suffered a high turnover of employees, an affair with benefits between a co-founder and an employee, and accusations of union busting. This according to an article from Bloomberg.com. Not very progressive in my opinion, which Crooked Media describes itself as being. The studio's biggest show is Pod Save America, hosted by former staffers of the former President Obama's administration. Flush with cash from the odious George Soros Open Society Foundation, it appears the founders, along with the lead host of Pod Save America, went on a spending spree, purchasing $10 million homes and giving themselves large salary increases. The employee who was having an affair with one of the co-founders was promoted to a top position in the company, despite better candidates who had been at Crooked Media longer. She must really be talented.
Aw, yeah.
Yeah, boy.
Despite recognizing an employee union last year, Crooked Media has yet to agree on a contract with them. The union, WGA, has since filed an unfair labor practice charge against the company. All these shenanigans bring the novel Animal House to mind. Ever read it? Hypocrisy at its finest is on display here. Pod Save America and threat to democracy indeed. The country doesn't need any saving from progressives such as these. I think last week's episode audio was a step up from the episode I previously recorded down here. Of course, there's always room for improvement, and I hope this episode is an improvement. I'm using the less is more technique this week. The next time I record from here, I'm thinking of chiseling the dust off my neat King Bee 2 condenser mic, which I haven't used in well over a year. In fact, years. The reason I haven't used that mic is because condenser microphones are a lot more sensitive than dynamic mics that I usually use, and my New York recording space is just too noisy to be able to use a condenser microphone. Heck, I think the last time I actually used a King Bee was during the lockdowns.
China!
I recorded an episode at 2 in the morning. I remember being pleased with the results, but recording at that ungodly hour just isn't feasible for me. Well, not if I wish to remain married. The area in which our new house is located is much more quiet, and so is the recording space. The only problem I have is that the space isn't fully furnished yet, so there's a bit of an echo. But for now, that reverb can be mitigated with an audio plugin. If using the King Bee works out, I have my eye on a Lewitt LCT-440 Pure microphone, which many podcasters use, and from what I've heard, sounds great. The price is reasonable also, which of course is a big plus. The music is playing and episode 229 is coming to a quick close. I need to get some rest because I'll be hitting the road early as I make my way back to New York. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I enjoyed making it for you. If you like what you heard, you can make a donation using the link in the show notes. Any and all donations will be greatly appreciated. You can always reach me at ofntpodcast@gmail.com if you're so inclined. I'd enjoy hearing from you. Remember, don't listen to what they say, watch what they do. You know how you can help me with getting some needed rest? Well, by getting off my lawn. Stay skeptical. I'm out.
See ya.